Chapter 11, The Absolute. To those of finite mental viewpoint, the Absolute is considered abstract, since it does not teach how to heal mind, thought, body, condition, thing. The reason should be plain. The Absolute is the Absolute. It is the perfect. It is the changeless. It is the one, the alone. What could the Absolute heal? Who could instruct? The Absolute considers the world and every identity to be the all-inclusive one. Pure consciousness is the self of everyone. As this consciousness, we do not heal with healing. We do not give advice relative to the handling of any false belief. We do not direct how to apply the truth to unreality. We do not try to work out problems. Fixed in the awareness and realization of the impossibility of sin, sickness, or imperfection to be in an identity of infinite perfect consciousness, which is the only universe there is, we are released from personal sense. We are the finite self no longer. It is impossible for sin to cause sickness, for fear to cause it, or false belief. Sickness cannot be caused. Nothing can create imperfection. There is no human existence. He who speaks as the true self in the kingdom can make such astounding assertion and know it to be the fact. This light comes through revelation alone and comes to those ready to receive it. There is no such thing as sin, suffering, or imperfection in all the kingdom of God. Since God is all and fills all space, there cannot be more than God, the perfect all. Quote, "For God made not death, neither hath he pleasure in the destruction of the living. For he created all things that they might have their being, and the generations of the world were healthful. And there is no poison of destruction in them, nor the kingdom of death upon the earth." Unquote. To those living outside the kingdom of divine consciousness, thinking as with a mind of their own, the statement that there is no such thing as suffering, sin, or imperfection is a preposterous falsehood. They can furnish plenty of proof to the contrary. He who is seeing and thinking as divine consciousness knows whereof he speaks. His understanding cannot be moved. He comprehends the challenging words of the all-victorious one, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Truth cannot be taught. It can be told. Truth cannot be made. It can be perceived. Truth cannot be earned, won, or demonstrated. It can be perceived and experienced. There is no way to truth but to be truth, no way to have but to take, no way to understand reality but to be divine consciousness. Identifying oneself as a mind other than divine consciousness, a self other than I am, and an existence which is not the eternal and perfect, is an attempt to be a personal God unto oneself. Accepting the one God to be all of us, we are divinely entitled to all that God is. Even as rays of light do not give forth light of single rays, but light of the whole sun. The one infinite God is the self of all identities. All identities are the one infinite God. Who is to believe our report? Who is to experience sublime reality? The unconditioned absolute? You and I, when through the heart we identify ourselves truly. And if we do not make such true identification, then necessarily we shall see as another, think as another, experience as another. Not actually, of course, but it will seem real enough to us if we voluntarily remain apart from the one we really are, even as our dreams seem real and certain to us while we sleep. If one has turned from God, his perfect self, to form a mind of his own, It should be self-evident that he cannot make his return through this same self-created mind and thinking. He must come through the heart. The heart alone is the point of contact between oneself as another and oneself as God. Self-revelation by way of the heart can bring forth immediate knowledge without taking thought, immediate freedom without effort. Night and day we are suffused with light and blessedness. The one who sees himself as another, not the one, asks for proof through demonstration. He who lays down the false belief of himself to identify himself as the one alone hath the witness in himself, experiences identification and wholeness to be simultaneous and identical.